WHO. This is Herb Planbeck, one of your war correspondents, again reporting from somewhere in Europe. Because many of your men in service have passed through or have been stationed in the Duchy of Luxembourg, I thought a brief report on the little Central European country would be in order. Luxembourg, as you know, is very small, only a tiny fraction the size of Iowa. But it must be a very important little land, considering how other European nations have coveted it from time to time. First it was the Spanish, then the Austrians, next the French, and as the world knows only too well, more recently, the Germans wanted Luxembourg. After seeing parts of the duchy and visiting with a number of its people the past few weeks, I can see reasons why Luxembourg was a prize that other nations sought. And it's equally easy to understand why its people are anxious to keep their sovereignty. Although the northern section was very hard hit by war, and fighting this past fall and winter wrecked many of its towns and cities, Luxembourg is still a rich and important little nation. Highest on the list of its resources is iron, and important in its industries is steel, something the Nazi warlords very much desired. Significant, too, is its agriculture, with which I'll deal on another program. Let's look at this little nation like your boys do when they work or visit there. Most of all, they're impressed by the peace-loving people, their thrift, cleanliness, industry, courage, and other attributes. But our men also find the country itself and its cities interesting. Luxembourg's topography varies greatly from flat, rich river bottom soil along the Moselle to rough, almost mountainous forest areas. Farm villages and occasional good-sized towns are nestled in the valleys, but many of these picturesque communities have felt the horrible wrath of war. The countryside, otherwise, especially at this season, is beautiful. Tall, moss-tinted beech and other trees, mistletoe snuggled among their branches, countless evergreens up on slopes, winding, well-kept roads, and early spring flowers make for a park-like picture. Except for those devastated by war, towns and cities are clean and tidy. Luxembourg, the largest and site of the palace, has had little damage, and like Paris, is a welcome relief from the rubble seen in so many other places. Luxembourg City is also rich in history. Our boys can see crumbling walls of the Siegfried Fortress erected 1,000 years ago. They note a church steeple French revolutionists, with the aid of 60 horses, tried to pull down without success. And they see tunnels extending 28 kilometers underneath the city. The palace, right in the heart of the city, is fascinating, as are long, high, sturdy stone bridges the Nazis, in their hasty retreat, did not have time to blow. That the Luxembourgers endured much during occupation is evident everywhere. But not until I talked with some of its people did I realize the courage they had to have. One businessman, whose wares were taken from him and in whose yard a shell exploded, killing a neighbor and damaging the house and trees, took me to his home for dinner. It was a plain, butterless, but fine meal, and it cost precious points. I noticed the family now lives in just one room, has only a small stove for heat, and boards cover blasted out windows. Theirs was a family of six when war broke out. Now there are just four. Both sons were taken by Nazi leaders, and both are now dead. There's no describing the pain in their hearts, nor can I adequately tell of their hatred for the oppressors. But they carry on, helping their neighbors, extending hospitality to Americans and to refugees who come, planning to reopen the shop, making garden for this summer's harvest, nursing shrubs and plants damaged by bursting shrapnel, and pointing proudly to the crocuses, narcissus, and little white flowers called the key of spring. Such is the spirit of the people of Luxembourg, grateful for liberation, anxious our American GIs find them considerate hosts, hoping that happier days are ahead. This is Herb Planbeck returning you to Des Moines. Hello, Bill Diamond. This is Herb Plambeck reporting from somewhere in Europe again, and this time on observations made on farms before leaving the little country of Luxembourg. My time was limited and my hours crowded, but I felt I ought to bring our farm listeners some material on agriculture in the tiny country between Germany, France, and Belgium, a land in which many of your sons have been in recent months. Most of my information came direct from Luxembourg farmers, whose language I can speak quite well. But for the overall picture, I went to the Ministry of Agriculture. There, I visited at length with Joseph Schmidt, an assistant in the department, who has a brother, Peter, and a cousin, Andre, farming near Remsen, Iowa. I learned that Luxembourg lists farming next to steelmaking in its industries, that even though its acreage is small, the production has been surprisingly high. However, the war has knocked out nearly a third of the farm areas in the northern section of the little nation, where a part of von Rundstedt's winter offensive took place. In that area, many farm villages have been badly battered. Countless mines have been left in fields, much equipment and livestock destroyed or taken, particularly horses. The result is farmers in that section, without machinery and horses, and with danger at every step, cannot be expected to produce much this year, possibly not for some years to come. Elsewhere, farm operations are very much in progress. Oats has largely been seeded, and potatoes and beets will soon be put in. It's been interesting to watch the field work. There are no tractors, and because the Nazis have taken most of the good horses, Luxembourgers are terribly handicapped for power. They do the best they can, though, with the horses that are left, hitched singly, or one ahead of the other, or with yokes of oxen, and sometimes, in what seems a terrible insult, they have an oxen and horse hitched together. The tools all seem to be of the one-horse type, and there's no riding on any of them. Plows are all reversible, so no time is wasted and no land packed on the ends. Much of the grain is still hand-sown, although on larger farms, cedars about 4 feet wide are seen. Carts are both four- and two-wheeled in type and are used for about everything. Piles of barnyard litter are to be seen scattered over many fields. Meanwhile, some threshing is still being done with crude little machines. Farms are small and very inefficiently set up, with a little strip here and another there, necessitating much moving from place to place. Women do much of the work, just as they do many other places. As for the crops, potatoes, for which Luxembourg is well known, lead all others in acreage. Oats comes next, and that which I saw certainly did not compare with that good Tama, Boone, and other approved seed you are now using in Iowa. Considerable rye and some wheat is also sown. Mangels, called Runkelreben here, and grapes are other important crops of Luxembourg. So far as yields go, by the time I have all of the hectares translated to acres, and the centners and double centners and quintals to bushels and pounds, it takes a while, but it figures out to rather favorable yields compared to our own standards. Better than 30 bushels of wheat per acre, for instance. Livestock isn't so good. Schmidt told me that what I thought were Holstein cows were called Hollandisch by the Luxembourgers, and the red and white ones were of the Nederland breed. They produce quite well when they have the feed, but they don't have enough feed now. Hogs are much like our Chester whites, and there are some sheep, goats, and chickens, but not enough poultry to provide our boys with the fresh eggs they'd like to have. Schmidt was very emphatic that until they got more horses, the farm production of Luxembourg will not be up to standard. On inquiry, I find people here feel it will take at least 2 years, perhaps 4 or 5, to get back to pre-war production. Meanwhile, they seem to be looking to the farmers of America to provide freedom from want. This is Herb Plambeck returning you to Des Moines.
Yeah. Received okay, good signal.
Okay, thank you very much. I guess that's all for right now.